You know, we want to move at pace. We don't want to move at panic. And so we understand we have to move at pace. One of the things that facilitate pace and that collapses time and speeds things up, Stephen Covey said it best. He called it the speed of trust.
Unleashing your best in life and work. This is The Game Changers with Eric Bolz and host Dale Dixon.
And welcome. I'm your host, Dale Dixon. I coach and speak around communication. I am with Eric Bolz, who coaches and trains around leadership, helping leaders unleash their potential and the potential of those around them. Eric, so good to be with you again.
Glad to be back with you, Dale.
So you have been nonstop on the road for we release these on a weekly basis, and we have a bit of a bank of podcasts that we have at our disposal, but we haven't really had a chance to talk for several weeks because you have just been on an airplane somewhere in the country every single week, multiple places a week. So when we were talking about, what do we talk about today? Tell me what you said about what you're hearing with your finger on the pulse, speaking to leaders.
Great, great question, Dale. Really, what I've been hearing is the challenge has been alignment. I mean, just when you have so many factors influencing teams, especially leadership teams, that are outside your control, how do we make sure we just don't get so distracted that we lose sight of what we're trying to do? And so the whole question around, man, we need to, you know, people use different words, like how can we become a better team? How do we become one team? How can we get better aligned? How can we make sure our focus is in the right place? How can we move with pace, with urgency, but not with panic? Right. There's a difference. I was like, we got to move with pace, not with panic. Right. And so in so many cases, that's taking place. The good news is I think it helps that people are actually coming together. Being able to have these conversations in face to face a little more often now has been a good thing. But the common thread or the common theme across the board, I'm talking about from trucking to food service to pharmaceutical to healthcare to insurance to retail. These are all the various sectors I've been in. And if you remove the name of the company and if you remove the industry, it would sound like they're having the exact same issues or same questions or conversations. They're just dressed up differently. And so that's what's been going on.
So as we unpack this, because I'm really excited to get to the urgency versus panic conversation, but to start at the ground level, as you were explaining this to me before we hit the record button, it's like we're seeing things in every industry and leaders are seeing things in every industry that they've never experienced before. And so when you start thinking about strategy and planning and how do you plan for what's coming down the road, we don't even know what's coming down the road. So what you can't set a strategy, you can't make a plan. And a lot of these, we're making decisions in the moment as leaders. And so when you think about bringing a team along in that rapid pace of decision making without a lot of, okay, here's our strategy for the next 12 months, and here's what we're going to be doing the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter to achieve that strategy and hit those markers. We just had a world conflict thrown at us. We just had, you know, you name it. You talked about still seeing the container ships sitting off of Long Beach. Yep. All of this, we don't know what to plan for. So when you think about it from that standpoint, elaborate more on what that looks like from an organizational standpoint and leaders getting their people aligned when decisions are happening in the moment and it's so difficult to plan far ahead.
No, that's great, Dale. We've always had to be strategic. We've always had to be tactical. We've always wanted those things to work in conjunction with each other. We've never really had a time where they had to work simultaneously, right? So we're having to be strategic and tactical all at the same time. That means, you know, so sometimes we don't get 3-day offsites to be strategic because there's going to be things that can happen in 2 weeks that throw off everything we just got through doing because of the amount of uncertainty. And so really the biggest adjustment that, you know, at least one of the things I'm encouraging leaders to do and teams to do is our ability to adapt and be agile is now more important than ever before. And when we talk about adapt and agile for senior leadership teams, it's not about them doing the actual work. It's about how quickly they can communicate and give perspective to the people doing the work. And so what happens, what's happened for so long is we've been able to put our heads down and just really grind in relationship to our functional area, right? So if I'm in charge of marketing, I'm just putting my head down and grinding around marketing. If I'm in charge of a business development, I'm putting my head down and grinding. If I'm in charge, whatever it is. Now, and you can bring that down to whether it's a large company or a small organization where, hey, I'm responsible for making sure the maintenance of this building is great. I'm responsible for making sure that this is right. Well, the problem with that in an ever-changing environment like we're having right now, man, you almost become blinded. You get so locked into your little silo, and no matter how big it is, it's still a little silo in relationship to the need for the organization overall. So there's never been a time before where leadership teams or teams in general, they got to wear the company hat, not just wear their functional area hat. And that is, it sounds good, but that's just not a branding issue. That's a, how you approach meetings, how you approach conversations. Sometimes we got to multiply our intelligence. We all got to look at things the same way. The days of the CEO or the leader or the manager or the owner of the business is the only one in the room, you know, losing sleep. That's over, right? Right. We need everybody engaged. So in a very practical way of saying it, Dale, and we'll go into even more detail about the how, but in a very practical way, I like to describe it this way, where like we have a shared understanding of what it is we're doing. And that shared understanding is a continual ongoing process. Like we are constantly meeting up. If this was football, we're huddling up. We're huddling up in a hurry, though. It's frequent. So we don't spend a lot of time in the huddle, but we do have to huddle. The days of no huddle offense are about over, right? Because the defense keeps changing their coverage. And I'm not trying to make this a football example, but many times when, you know, I've had leaders ask me before, it's like, well, Eric, we need to run a no huddle offense. I said, that's good because that allows you to control the set or the defensive scheme that the defense can be in. They can't make adjustments when you're in a no huddle offense. But that's not what's happening here. The defense is making all kinds of adjustments and you're not adjusting. So you got to realize that you're not in control here. You have to understand how you have to respond. The reason you're not in control is the reason your stress level is so high. I tell leaders this all the time. Stress and control go hand in hand. When you have stuff like a pandemic, when you have stuff like a, the geopolitical conflicts that are way closer to home than just some way out there place, all of a sudden you start realizing how little control you have. And when you don't have a lot of control, it starts to limit how far in the future you can see, because there's things you can't depend on. And the minute those variables kick in place, all of a sudden we start going, okay, then what would we do? I mean, we set a plan there. And so the real solution we come to is, it's not like our plan is going to be perfect, but we got to get clear about what it is we want and why we want it. But the how, we're going to have to be more flexible than we've ever been before. Like we have to know this is what it is we're going to do, but how we're going to do it, the probability that the how is going to change is 100%, right? And so if we don't embrace that, you know, now we got some challenges.
Exactly. I was listening to an executive who oversees culture at a large organization, and she was talking about the idea of communication. And I think it really relates in this situation because she said the CEO was putting videos out, put 60 videos out in the course of a few short months, during, you know, the height of COVID and what was going on there. And that has continued even now with the using every available avenue and approach to communication. And the messages, they're not scripted. They're not canned. It's not part of a process. If you're thinking like a marketing process, but it's, hey, you know what? I noticed this today. I'm going to tell a story about what I saw in how one of our team members reacted in this situation, how we were flexible. Hey, here's what I'm seeing in the market today. Here's something that we need to be thinking about as we adjust to that, and pushing these short, quick videos. And it's so easy now. I can throw a camera up in front of my face. I can, you know, we've got a setup at our desk now for most of us for Zoom and to create that. So the and we as leaders, we think it's going to be repetitive if I keep talking about it, or it's people are going to get tired of it, or they've already heard that message.
So good. So good.
Take us down the road of what you're seeing as far as leaders taking advantage of every opportunity to communicate, even the most minuscule, minute, what might be seen as, hey, this is not that important for the entire organization to know. But what's the impact on people when we're working toward this, trying to get shared understanding to your
That's right. That's right. One of the things you even in that example you just gave, I love it. One of the things that's important for every leader to know is at the point you get tired of saying the same thing, you just got started. Because you have a tendency to overestimate how much impact you're having by one clear message or you saying it one time. Let me just make sure it's clear. No one heard you. They heard you, but they weren't necessarily listening. It takes time. So it takes a while for the same message to be heard over and over and over again. And so with the example you just gave from that particular leader, 60 messages. That is what a great example. Because many times they may be saying the same message overall, but they have 60 different pictures that make that message clear. And so it's one thing to, people think, I keep saying the same thing. No, you don't. You may say the same principle. You can say the same statement, but you need multiple examples and stories and everything constantly to reinforce what that means. I had a coach whose primary message was do your job. But he would show 50 different highlights from different parts of the game of people doing their job. So we're never bored with hearing do your job. We found new ways that's what doing your job looks like. And it just continued to permeate. So all of a sudden, do your job became everybody's mantra because we all had a way of connecting to it. So when you have a leader who's willing to speak like that and that frequently, it's a big deal. I will also say this for every leader hearing, and just every person in general hearing this. The way you turn fear into confidence, the way you turn fear into confidence, you do that by being clear, not just passionate, because passion can wane, okay? But you can be clear, and the more clear you are, and this is why I say often why consistency is greater than intensity, while being clear is sometimes better than just being passionate. Passionate has an intensity to it, and that's great, but I need this consistently, because if not, you'll get me very passionate, but then I get out there. And, like I said before, even in my playing days, you just go out in the second half and we're making the same mistakes with greater intensity, right? Like, so it's not like we're improving. And so when a leader can be clear, and the way he becomes more and more clear, this is how it ties together, is by being consistent. So the more I hear that message, the more I hear it repeated with examples, the picture he's describing becomes clear. So we're talking about communication, but it's a subtle thing, but when leaders realize what gets pictured gets done, not just what's said. So when you do something consistently, same message over and over, I can begin to see what the leader's describing. I'm not just hearing it. And that's the game changer.
That's the power of telling a story and identifying the stories in your organization that highlight the principles, the same principle over and over and over again, but with the different stories and how you see it play out. That helps me as an employee or as somebody in the organization really see it.
Boom.
See the application. Thank you. Boom. So now let's move into flexibility, because I think in this day and age, the ability for a person to be flexible is so crucial. But we have, I go to the DISC score, and I've spent quite a bit of time understanding that and the difference and how people are different. And we have people who love rules and want to be able to follow the rules and know what's coming and have consistency over time. And that's the beauty of how we're all made differently. That still, how do we as leaders start to help the variety and of folks who are in our organizations, especially who tend to be those, hey, this is the way we've always done it. Why do we need to change? I'm change adverse. In the flexibility arena.
Gotcha. Now, I will tell you, I believe there is, it's a both and here. So when we say flexible and agile, it's easy to be flexible. It's easy to be agile. It's easy to be adaptive when you know what the fundamental or the foundations are. So, you know, I am never, for everyone listening, I am not very interested. Hearing a leader saying need to be flexible, which is a leader who just doesn't like following rules anyways, I'm not really listening to you, right? Like, so you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't care how much talent you have. We're living in a time, unfortunately, where we use a lot of talent conversations in organizations. Like, we got to acquire talent. It's all about talent acquisition. We do this with talent. Yeah, but really what you got to do with talent is develop it. And not only you got to develop it, you got to structure it in a way where that talent can be maximized. There's a lot of people who draw in talent to make up for what you lack in process, to what you lack in a plan, what you lack in order. And what ends up happening is you use all that great talent to bridge the gap that process could have taken care of. So there, you got to value both. Like, and the way I like to say it is, you need enough freedom, but that freedom needs to needs to be within a framework. So every leader needs to know the value of both. So, you know, I challenge leaders all the time. Hey, look, you got some people who are all about structure and process and they don't want to change. Before you call it, or before you say they don't want to change, before you say they're going to, before you do that, understand that the structure they've established or what they follow, it has a systematic approach. There's something systematic about it. To remove what's systematic and not replace something that also has at least some semblance of order is wrong to a portion of your team, because it doesn't work, because every role and personality isn't the same way. So it's a both and. We have to be systematic where we can be and flexible where we need to be, but we need to be both. So I tell leaders all the time, you need to create value in both. We can't just have salespeople running out there and say, man, it's all about growth. We just got to do it. And we have no way to support the growth once we get it. That's not okay, right? And then on the flip side, we create this great structure, but we're doing nothing to grow. We got this strong muscular base, a skeletal base, but we don't lift any weights, right? Like, we don't move anything to grow the muscle. So it's so important right now for a leader to not just emphasize how important it is to be flexible, but also be very clear. And this is what I say to leaders all the time, man, you need to also be clear to your team and what part of what you do isn't changing. Like, that's nice to know. Like, because sometimes if you don't make that clear, I'm thinking everything's changing. No, some things are changing, but everything can't change. Last point on this is just a little subtle thing, but when it comes to change, any leader who has to, and we all know that we're in a time of change, we get it. But the only thing change guarantees, I've said this before, the only thing that change guarantees is that there will be a loss. However you describe loss, something's going away or something is coming. All gain is probable. Like, that's all probabilities, right? Like, I hope we get better because of this change. I believe we make this adjustment and do that. We brought in a new leader. One thing I do know is we no longer have the previous one. Okay. But before you say, oh, this is going to be so much better, we're believing so. We're hoping so. We're going through the process. So anytime leaders are dealing with change around, people want to know two things. We want to know what needs to change, but we also want to know what's staying the same. And I think doing both of those in that both and dynamic is really, really critical.
Good time to transition into this urgency versus panic part of the conversation, because when you said that really captured me, because it's really easy to get into this what feels like a panic mode. We might not be panicking, but it sure feels like that to people around us as those changes are coming fast and they might not have been communicated as well as we should have, like that. So what do you see as some of the significant markers that make a difference between urgency and panic?
Yeah. And the main thing is, you know, in urgency, panic, I used to like, if we're going to keep words similar, like, you know, we want to move at pace. We don't want to move at panic. Right. And so we understand we have to move at pace, but if we're going to move at pace, that means one of the things that facilitate pace and that collapses time and speeds things up, I think Stephen Covey said it best. He called it the speed of trust, right? And trust levels have to go up, because in order for us to move at pace, I may not be the days of sitting down and giving me every single step to the point I'm comfortable where I can finally function. It's not doable right now. That goal is unrealistic because of the timelines we have to function under. So what we're going to do now is we're going to have to trust, and our trust grows through our feedback loops. We're going to have to communicate in ways we haven't had to communicate before. We're going to have to challenge. I've been challenging leadership teams now to say, listen, you guys challenge each other way before your customer does. But just because you're in HR, sometimes because you're in HR, you're the right person to question what we're doing over here in operations. Just because you're in a marketing doesn't mean you shouldn't question what we're doing in supply chain. Just because you're in finance doesn't mean you shouldn't question what's going on. Actually, we need teams functioning like that now more than ever, faster. That means our practice time, which is our meeting time, they're far more valuable than just reporting out sessions. What's happened too often is we have all these meetings that somebody's just telling us, updating on us on what they're doing. So little value is gained from those meetings. And because they're not getting valuable, you're losing two things. We're losing time and we're losing impact. So it's literally, in order to move at pace, that means those meetings have to be far more insightful. So I was like, use every single meeting as a time to get better aligned on what we're trying to do, why we're trying to do it, what do we need to adjust in terms of how we're doing it, remembering the benefits, but also keep talking about the cost of inaction. And cost of inaction ain't a panic. It's just an acknowledgement that if we don't do this by here, this could be the consequence. If we do it by here, this can be the benefit. Okay, that's a healthy conversation. Now we all walk out with clarity on what the if we don't get this done, what it'll look like. What happens too often, Dale, is one or two people have a clarity about what the cost of inaction is based on who the leader is. So if the CEO knows what the cost is, but everybody else doesn't, they're going to get that CEO's emotion. They're going to get his or her emotion without the clarity of the reason. And so all of a sudden, we're all just freaking out because the leader's freaking out, okay? Or we're all freaking out because we got some feedback. No, we got to be aligned. So now we're moving at pace. I think the great John Wooden said it this way, be quick, just not in a hurry, right? Like we need to move quick, but not in a hurry. And so how do we do that? Those meetings we get to get aligned are everything.
How often are you seeing effective teams meeting and doing these things on a week? If you look at a week, if you break down a week and say, here's a week in the life of leader X, what does it break down to?
Especially in times of enormous change, most of the time leaders feel like we don't have time to meet because we got stuff to do. It's actually the opposite. Right. Like and I'm not saying long meetings. It's just these check-ins. And I've always said at least once a week, even if you have to do it virtually and people have to call, no matter what, but you got to huddle. You can't be right now not doing, because then if we can do that, then every leader, especially if you're not when you're not a owner operator or you're not a leader who's actually doing the work, but you're many times being reported out on what's taking place. Man, once you can have that clarifying meeting once a week, then everything you do rest of the week is coaching to the things you just had on that Monday. That's why it's so critical. But if you don't have that, now you can't referencing. So every single time, once a week, I believe it feels like a lot because it is. But man, to start the week without that, I mean, I don't care if it's an hour. I don't care. That would be the most foolish thing. Hey, let's get back here. Okay, what have we agreed to again? Okay, what do we expect to get taking place this way? What are we, you know, just quick little things. Because it's important that the whole team hears it. The way I like to describe from a football standpoint, I'm a wide receiver. If I'm only worried about catching the ball, I got something wrong. I need to know, like, why does it matter that we need a certain number of first downs, even if we don't score, just to put the defense in a better position to be more effective to give us the ball back. But if I don't hear none of that and I'm only caring about my part, man, then all of a sudden, you know, my view is limited. Now I don't realize the impact, or more importantly, the impact of my actions on others, or the benefit if I'm aware of that. Now all of a sudden the work I do has greater meaning. Now I'm having a greater impact on the team. And this is what leaders can do once a week, with especially their leadership team. They got to make sure that they're aligned in that. And once we can do that, now we just, because if we can model it there, that should be a frequency that happens throughout the organization. Because at the end of the day, it's not for the CEO to read, based on the size of the organization, but it's not for her or him to make sure every single person got the message. No, he has to make sure his direct team has the message. And then he holds them accountable to making sure they got their next team. That's how the only way that it can work.
So I have some ideas around this, but I'm thinking, what are some good tests or maybe pop quizzes to make sure that there is alignment throughout the organization from the front line all the way to the leadership team?
Yep. Hey, one of the questions I tell leaders use all the time, simple question. I said, sometimes if you, and this is where it's good for the leader, CEO, whatever, sometimes do, and it's not step over interviews. It's just, I mean, these are questions you can ask informally. This is what you can do in the room. Okay. It's like simply going, what matters most? Okay, so tell me what matters. And you can hear some of the answers, which clearly tell you there hasn't been a conversation to make sure what they're doing aligns with what's about to take place. I mean, because again, I said it before, if our pitches don't match, right, we have a communication issue. So quick little example, hopefully this makes sense. When I was with the Green Bay Packers, never forget it, Mike Holmgren was the head coach. And Andy Reid was my tight end coach. We had some really good coach on things. Yeah, John Gruden was there and all that. So I remember I ran a route, and I had been told many times, okay, what's important here is you got to run full speed. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to do that. Yeah, all these things. And so I had my personal coach talked a lot. So he would tell me, but I would hear so many messages, you know, over and over again. And I never forget, Mike Holmgren comes over to me, and I can see he's really frustrated. And he says, tell me, what is the most important thing? I said, to catch the ball. He says, absolutely not. He goes, the most important thing, I can never forget, is to run full speed. Because when the ball's not coming to you, we can't get it to somebody else because you're in the freaking way. So run full speed, run it. It moves the defense, which puts him. What's the number one thing? I said, run full speed. He only stayed with me for a second. His next attention was directly to my receiver coach. He goes, this is on you. This is not on him. He goes, I'm telling him so he is never confused by it again. But your message is good. Make it clear. Their priorities are on. I never forget that. I will never, ever, ever forget that. And so when I talk to leaders, I'm like, hey, when any confusion that happens further out into the organization, remember, everybody is ridiculously in charge to the message. And if that message is confusing, you got to make sure you're clear with your team, but then it's critical that they're clear with their team. The how it's executed is where there's flexibility, because it looks different at each role in terms of the tactics and application. But what we're going after and what's significant and why it's important, that better be understood by everybody. Never forget.
And you told that in such a strong way, we're not going to forget it either. So I think, yeah, we're going to, as leaders, go back into our organizations and use that question because it is, that's the tell. That is the tell. Fantastic. Any final words for us as we wrap up this episode about team alignment?
Just main thing is recognizing that alignment is an ongoing process. It's not an event. It is an ongoing process. Too many variables, too many hits happen that change everything. This is why in every sporting event, every game, just life itself, we know it's constant huddles. It's constant adaptations, adjustments, and everything. So to any leader who's doing, don't feel down when it feels like the team's not aligned, and don't be too excited when they are aligned, because you can get out of alignment in a hurry. Hit a little curb, next thing you know, you need to go back to the car place, have them align your, you know, align your vehicle again. So it's the same way that works with us, with our teams.
Fantastic. All right. The book is, if I can get it in focus with the camera, is Moving to Great with Eric Bowles. He is available to work with your leadership as well, because he coaches, trains, and inspires leaders to unleash their potential and the potential of those around them. Eric Bowles, the website address is thegamechangersinc.com. All right, thegamechangersinc.com is where you're going to find more about Eric and to connect with him. This is the Game Changers Podcast. We would really appreciate you rating and reviewing this podcast. It makes it easier for others. If you're listening on a podcast app, make sure you are subscribed to this podcast. And if you would share it with someone in your life who would help, it would help around this idea of alignment. We would appreciate it. We're back next week. This is the Game Changers, unleashing your best in life and work.
The Game Changers, unleashing your best in life and work with Eric Bowles and Dale Dixon. Eric is an executive coach, leadership expert, change consultant, and keynote speaker. Read his book, Moving to Great, and find him at ericbowles.com. Connect with Dale at daledixonmedia.com.